Morning, everybody. We're going to be reading from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 44. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell them the Lord needs it." Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Amen.
Well, it's just wonderful to have this opportunity to speak today. And this is such a significant week for us, isn't it? Palm Sunday today, Maundy Thursday coming up, Good Friday, and also Easter Sunday. This is what Christians have traditionally termed Holy Week. And it is such a significant week for us. We welcome Jesus today as our coming King. We journey with him through Holy Week to the garden on Maundy Thursday, where his sweat is like drops of blood on the ground as he contemplates the cross in front of him. We stand and worship on Good Friday as Jesus goes to the cross for us, as he bears our sin, as he dies in our. And we say a wonderful hallelujah on Easter Sunday as Jesus rises from the dead. This is our faith, isn't it? These things are the absolute heart of what we believe, so many of us. And so we're excited as we come to Holy Week. And we're excited today to see this baptism at Louis. And we just think about how this speaks of the key events in the gospel story. We've already had this from Mackie, and it's wonderful. It's like a death and it's like a resurrection. It symbolizes so powerfully baptism, our gospel story. But we want to make this real in our lives, maybe for the first time, maybe freshly, if our hearts have grown cold. And I think the word for today, the word that I wrote down again this morning when I was just going over this once more, is the word deeper. And it's interesting how well that meshes with the picture that Ruth brought to us. I think that God wants to take us deeper today, deeper into his purposes for us, deeper into discipleship, deeper into the flow of the Holy Spirit. And so my encouragement to you, as to myself, is just to hold that word in your head deeper as we go through this together. Just a few things from this wonderful reading in Luke 19 and the first Palm Sunday. Firstly, we see that there is a call to worship Jesus as the coming King. There was an expectation among the people that a king would come, that Messiah, as he was described, would come, a wonderful king who would come as Savior. And there is this longing, this expectation. The King is coming, the King to save us, the King to set us free. When will he come? And there is a real sense among the people that the time is now here, that the Savior, that the King, that the Mighty One has now come among us. There was a prophecy that Messiah would ride into Jerusalem, and here Jesus is fulfilling that. In the other Gospels, we see that palm branches are cut down and they're waved. And that also is a fulfillment of prophecy about Messiah. The cloaks that are spread on the colt, that are spread on the ground, again, that fulfills prophecy. And these wonderful words of acclamation, these words of praise, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Again, from the other Gospels, Hosanna in the highest, as Matt has reminded us, save now. The earlier quotation, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It's a quotation from Psalm 118 that the crowd gives, and it's a messianic expectation. The King is coming, and the King will save. What's the response of the people? The response of the people is to worship. And we shouldn't rush past this. They worship, they praise, they give God adoration for Jesus. And Jesus explicitly says, this is good. The Pharisees challenge, and Jesus said, well, if these people were quiet, even the stones would cry out. Jesus has come as King. And there is exuberant, there is joyful, there is heartfelt worship. Yeah, let's not rush past this. Because God calls us to be a worshipping, praising people also. Jesus is here. Jesus is King. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he is present with us. And he is present with us every Sunday. He is present with us every time we gather to worship. And my encouragement to myself and my encouragement to you is not to be afraid to lift your hearts, to lift your voices, to lift your hands in worship to God Sunday by Sunday. Journey that I've been on as a Christian over many years is from a conversion to Jesus in, I suppose, a fairly sort of straight setting. We used to sit like this and we were fairly buttoned up and the word was there and it was wonderful. And I've never moved away from that. I love the word of God. It is authoritative for me and should be for all of us. But also in my journey, I guess I've added in that sense of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, and just the calling out into worship and praise of God. You have wonderful worship bands here. It's just absolutely brilliant. Welcome that Cheryl and I have received is wonderful. And we are joyful as we come into the presence of God in worship. It's an opportunity to say thank you to Jenny and the worship bands that we have. It seems that when someone's away, someone else who's equally gifted pops up and takes over. And it's a real privilege for us as a church. I pastored a multi-site church in Leeds. I need to be a little bit careful because I guess this is going out online. But I would say for all the thanks that I give for those that we had in Leeds, we didn't have the sort of worship teams that you have here in terms of the giftedness and the sensitivity to God's presence and God's working. And I want to encourage us all as God's people, let's press into that. Let's give our hearts, let's lift our voices, and yes, let's lift our hands in worship and praise of our God. The word deeper. I think this is one of the ways that God wants to take us deeper today. Maybe he's challenging you in that way. Maybe he's challenging me to go deeper in worship. There is more in these verses, because I think there are some key hints here that the crowd, yes, they worshipped God. Yes, they gave themselves in praise. They waved the palm branches. But there is something where there is a challenge in this passage and saying, actually, the crowd could have gone deeper. I wonder if you noticed in the reading, verse 37 in our reading. Again, it's easy to rush past this, but let's just go back to it and mark it together. When Jesus came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples, so there's a vast crowd, they began joyfully to praise God in loud voices. Something that's a challenge to us. The joy of the Lord, praising God, lifting our voices to him. But look what comes next in verse 37. In loud voices for all the miracles they have seen. I wonder if there's a hint there that they are praising God because of all the good things that he has done for them. Because Jesus was a spectacular miracle worker, a son of man and son of God. He had authority over the wind and the waves and the demons and disease. And he worked wonderful miracles, signs that pointed to who he was. But there is evidence in the Gospels, and we've seen it in our journey in Luke, that when the going got tough, some people found it more difficult. It's understandable. And they may be melted away. They struggled with what Jesus was saying. Are the crowd praising God for the miracles? But actually, there is a struggle to go deeper into the really challenging words of Jesus. One commentator has said this: you have a vast crowd here, and they are praising God, and they're praising God for the miracles. But there must have been some on Good Friday who were there and who were shouting, "Crucify," a different cry, because Jesus hadn't quite fulfilled their expectations. The miracles that they were looking for, they hadn't quite turned up in the way that they wanted. Jesus was going to be a different sort of Messiah. And so God calls us deeper. Two things as we bring this towards a close and as we begin to move towards communion together. How does God want to call us deeper? Well, he wants to call us deeper in worship and praise, and let's not roll back on that, but he also wants to call us deeper into a fresh appreciation of the sort of king Jesus really is. Why is there this misunderstanding amongst at least some in the crowd, a misunderstanding that we see that some of Jesus' closest disciples share? Well, there was a popular expectation of Messiah, that he was going to come as a sort of warrior, warlike king, and boot out the hated Romans and establish a geographical, political kingdom at the point of the. And that's not the sort of king that Jesus is going to be. Theologian Tom Wright pictures Jesus coming into Jerusalem on the first Palm Sunday, and he's just preparing for his journey in. And Tom Wright says that essentially there are three options for Jesus, humanly speaking. Firstly, option number one, he could come as this warrior, warlike king, in the way that I've just described. The crowd are with him. It's a vast crowd who are here. They're cheering. They're waving palm branches. The Romans would have seen this as a real threat. And we know, of course, that Jesus had legions of angels at his command. Even without that, Jesus could have been successful. He could have led an armed rebellion. The people may well have been with him, and he could have established that sort of kingdom. That's option number one, establishing his kingdom at the point of a sword. Option number two, he could just turn back. Doesn't need to do this. This is going to be really difficult, really tough. Humanly speaking, Jesus could turn and he could walk away. But actually, there is a third option. And it is this option that Jesus, Son of Man and Son of God, believes is that the mission the Father has given him. And that's the option that Jesus takes. He rides into Jerusalem, not on a war horse, but on a colt, on the foal of a donkey, one that has not been ridden before, bringing his peace to it. He establishes his kingdom on Good Friday, not at the point of a sword, but as the points of the nails are driven into his hands and to his feet. Is he a coming king? Yes. Is he a conquering king? Yes. Is he victorious by the cross and the resurrection? Yes. But it is still very different to the sort of victory that people are expect. Not a time-bound geographical political kingdom, although it is a kingdom that has implications for the whole of life, but a spiritual kingdom that is earthed in the here and now, established in people's hearts and growing all over the world. Jesus is king, and this is the kingdom that he brings, a kingdom that is established by his death and resurrection. Will we allow Jesus, will we allow God the Holy Spirit to take us deeper in understanding today? How can we respond to this? How can we respond in our heart? Well, as we see that this points forward to the cross and the resurrection, as we see that Jesus comes and establishes his kingdom, it may be that you're listening online or you are here in person and you have never taken a step of faith towards Jesus before. See the baptism, you hear the testimony, and it's interesting and exciting, but you've never taken that step yourself. And today, King Jesus graciously invites you to take a step of faith to him and to know forgiveness, to step out on the road of discipleship in following him. How we do that is symbolized so richly in baptism. We know that we need God's forgiveness, and there is cleansing here in the water when we go down into the water and we come up again. And as we've heard already, there is death and resurrection. There is turning from the old and there is embracing the new. Turning from our sin and our rebellion and accepting Jesus, this Jesus, the real Jesus, the Jesus who rides into Jerusalem as our. If you've not done that, if you've never done that, my encouragement to you is to do that today. And it may also be that you've not been baptized as a believer. And there is a challenge here as well to embrace this in obedience. He calls us deeper. He is calling you into relationship with him. He is calling you into deeper relationship with him. And finally, there's also something here about the authority of Jesus. It's been one of the big themes for us, isn't it? As we have gone through Luke's gospel, Jesus is king and Jesus has authority. And we see that again and again here in this wonderful passage. The colt that's never been ridden before, so it's not broken in. You think, you know, someone's going to get on it. What happens when you get on a horse that hasn't been broken? If I got on any horse, I would probably fall off, even if it was quite tame and placid. But this is normally going to be sort of bucking and rushing around. This donkey, this colt, this foal of a donkey, never been ridden before. And Jesus sits on it. And that doesn't happen. He brings his peace. He has authority because it is Jesus. The colt is given to Jesus because he has authority. He is acclaimed as king, as we've already said. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And he is God himself. We see that in verse 44, and Jesus says very clearly, they did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. They didn't recognize him. They didn't recognize him as God, the authority. Again, I want to say, submit to his rule now. If you have never done so before, come to him in faith. Come to him and be baptized. But if you have already done those things, God also is calling us, is calling you, is calling me deeper into him. Romans 6, 1-4, you have that picture of being fully immersed, of dying with Christ and rising again. And it is absolutely all in. Baptism was done so well. Louis went right under the water. And it is that symbol of complete and utter commitment to Jesus, holding nothing back. And we have sung about that also today, haven't we? I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. The authority of Jesus, the authority of his love, the authority of his words. Is there something that we're holding back from him? Maybe there's something in our lives, something in our hearts, this habit that we need to turn away from. Maybe there are things that we struggle with as we read the scriptures. And Jesus is saying, trust me, put your trust in me, plunge in. Not 40%, not 60%, not even 90%. Give yourself to this and know that I am a trustworthy God. When Louis was baptized, he had to trust, didn't he? When Jonty and Mackie were baptizing him, there are all sorts of things that could have gone wrong. They could, and this was never going to happen, but they could have held him under the water for a bit too long. They could have bashed his head on the side of the pool. You're putting yourself actually in the hands of someone else. And when we trust in Jesus, there is a real sense of surrender and abandonment when we put our hand in him. We don't know where he's going to lead us. We don't know how he's going to challenge us. The Christian life is life and health and joy and peace, and it's joyful and wonderful. It is life now and life in the age to come, and yet it is challenging too. And Jesus takes us into difficult places. I believe this morning that God is calling us deeper as a church. And I believe that God is calling us deeper as individual disciples along the way. Will we trust him as our king? Not as the king that we would wish him to be, fulfilling our desires in our way, in our time, on our terms, but as the king who is sometimes confusing, as the king who is surprising, as the king who overturns our expectations, who goes to the cross for us and says to us, will you also take up your cross day and follow me? Let's go deeper together as his people.